So we're going to start in 3 John. That's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 3rd John says, Beloved, I wish above all things, verse 2, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Beloved, I wish above all things. Now this verse has been the source of great controversy, because it says, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And there are those religious experts, so to speak, who said it doesn't apply to you, it only applies to Gaius. Well, how dumb can you get and still breathe? this is a message for God beloved, and God so loved the world, everyone's included. In John 17, Jesus prayed for the disciples, and he said a phenomenal thing. He said, Father, I know you love them as much as you love me. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? Mind-boggling that the only begotten Son of God who made the sacrifice for sin would be loved of the Father, and I would be equally loved. This verse is very definitely for you. It was for Gaius. It's for the church. It's for the world that God loved. Beloved. Now, the other thing, I don't know why people don't like this verse that's frequently said by religious so-called experts, is that it doesn't apply to you because it's only an introduction. Have you ever heard anything so dumb? When you write a letter and you write an introduction, you don't have to mean the introduction. Hello, how are you? We are fine. You didn't mean that? I'm not a letter writer. That's about how I'd start. I have to write a few letters in the office. It's a torture to my soul. You're included. This is for you. You're God's beloved. He loves you. I wish, or some say, I pray above all things. Now, when something's above all things, it's a priority. This is God's priority list. This is his list. It includes prosperity and health. Not healing. Health. Health is freedom from pain and disease. It's a step above healing. We like healing. We love health. We love health. Now, the word prosper is not in the context of money. I know we read it that way. We think of it that way. But if you said the word means to have a prosperous trip or a prosperous journey, it means to have a prosperous journey through life. Well, there are a lot of factors besides money that give you a prosperous journey through life. Let's just go on vacation. Go with me, I'm going to the mountains. And if we said, if I came back and reported we had such a prosperous trip, you would know we found the restaurants that we liked. You know, we went to the mountains for years because we had access to a couple cabins. And it's really hard. Breaking when you go in your favorite restaurant's not in business anymore. That affects your prosperity. It affects your mindset. Then you don't know where to eat. We used to eat at the Pie Palace. It's gone. So you have the right restaurants. You didn't have any car trouble. Nobody got sick. The mountain cabin was exceeding abundantly above. I mean, you're looking down on the river and across at the mountain peaks and the forest station, which there's no houses there because it's a national landmark. So there isn't a place like that. Yes, there is. I was there many years. And when you sit on the porch, nothing could be more prosperous than that. Okay, and this doesn't have to be your concept. This is mine. We're talking about prospering. He wants you to prosper. That's what the psalmist said. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's prosperity. Any want, any need. One writer said, and I'm sure he got it from a translation, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. That's prosperity. Now, there's no TV up there. I love that. Love that. That may not do it for you, but Wayne and I had no TV. We love that. And we went up and we played tapes and we studied and we read our Bible and we read the book. You know, the one you were going to read all year that you never read? That was prosperous. We got our book read. prosperous. Got gas at a good price. Saw some beautiful things. The antique malls are still there. Saw some beautiful things. Even bought a thing or two. Christmas house. Love that. I'm prospering. Now, you can't prosper without money. Well, because you have money, you can have plenty of money to go on this trip. And your car breaks down and your kid gets sick and the mountain cabin wasn't what you thought it was. And your restaurant's closed and you didn't prosper. So prosperity is broad. And he said, above anything else, I want you to prosper and be in health. Free from lack and want, free from disease and pain. That's priority. He said above everything else. Now, when we used to travel overseas, Joel was still living at home, and we'd leave him at the house. And above everything else, I want the dog fed and taken care of. I appreciate it if I come home, dishwasher's been loaded and run. And I like it when their tracks are vacuumed up or the floors mopped if you tracked in. I like all those things, but the priority is the dog. See, I've left people at my house to take care of my dog that didn't do a good job. One lady didn't even spend the night there. She was supposed to because my dog wasn't used to being alone. And I had a can of food for every day, and I had been gone 7 days and had 4 cans left over. Now you tell me. See, I had a priority. Now, I figured out how to get my house cleaned. I hired somebody to come clean it before I came home. Gave them the key. I'd said, clean my house. The dog. God said, this is my priority. When I think of you, my beloved. When I think of you, my beloved, I want you to prosper. I want you to have all the things that you need. I want you to be in health. Well, you can have all the things you need. If you're sicker than a dog, you're handicapped. You can be well and healthy, vibrant and alive, but not have adequate finances or wisdom. You can't prosper without wisdom. If you're dumber than a brick, you're not going to prosper. You know, and you can be real smart in one arena and not so smart in another. I mean, if you put me in front of the computer, you can forget it. I don't understand it. I don't know why I have to mash 12 buttons to get to one piece page that the minute you get there, it just suddenly disappears. I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I can't prosper there. So you can prosper in some avenues, some arenas, and not prosper in others. And God said, I want you to prosper. I want you to have every need met. I want you to have a successful journey through life. Now, for my mother, prosperity was when her amaryllis bloomed. My grandmother had amaryllis. They moved them from my grandmother, who lived in Winter Haven, to my mother, who lived in Auburndale when Granny died. And every year, oh, they're gorgeous. Mother had a red that's not usually seen on the market. It's not the red that you would normally buy. It was fire engine red, vivid. And she planted them all down the side of her house. And then when she had, because they multiplied, and then she put them all down the back of the house. And when they bloomed, just was mind-boggling. That was prosperity in mother. It reminded her of her mother. And when mother died and the daddy died and we sold the house, we dug them dudes up. We dug them up before we ever put it on the market. They don't come with the house. Those are mine. They were mothers. They were grannies. Those are mine. And they're part of my prosperity, a part of what's important. See, God wants you to be happy, wealthy, wise, content, at peace, to prosper. Yes. Prosperity is your overall well-being and being health. He said, that's my priority. So what does God want? Does God want to heal you? He wants you to walk in health. He doesn't want you to be sick. He doesn't want you to be sick. There was a little old lady. She was never sick. As an elderly lady, very elderly, her friends began to notice that they get sick and they have pains and agony. She never does. So one day they asked her, this is a true story, how come you're never sick? Are you never sick? Have you ever been sick? She said, oh, no, honey, I'm not sick. How can you be sick? The Lord is my physician. Ooh, Jesus. See, she said, I planted my faith there decades ago. That's health. I like it. I'm not there, but I like it. And God wants to open the window to that possibility today and see yourself walking in health. Seeing this next year and the year after and the year after be the best years of your life when every symptom disappears, every bodily pain goes, and you're able to walk towards heaven because everybody's walking towards heaven. Some of us have a shorter walk than others. That's the truth. But everybody's walking towards heaven, and he wants us to be sound of mind and body and have everything we need for the journey. When mother died, just before mother died, I had a vision of heaven. I saw it. And I saw mother. And they call them gates in the scripture, but they didn't look much like gates to me because they were massive, huge. And when mother got close and somebody had their arm around her and was helping her, she was very, very frail, down to 70 pounds. That's 100 pounds down from where she started. And when those gates, they automatically swung open. And the color, the yellows and the golds were just Oh, you just can't describe. I can see them to this day. And in this far right-hand corner, there was a gold that was blinding, almost blinding. I don't know what was back there, but something. Almost blinding. And that bothered me for a long time because I know there's something I was supposed to see that I didn't see. I knew that. And I would close my eyes and I could see those doors, those massive doors open. And I could see Mother approaching the throne of heaven. And I could see the colors. And then when the vision would disappear, I thought, what was it I was supposed to see that I didn't see? I know I didn't see it. And one day it came to me. There were no knobs on those doors. God opened them from the inside when he saw Mother coming. That's prosperity. That's the ultimate prosperity. Heaven. You can't get any more prosperous than that. It's to be there. And God opened the door when he saw Mother coming. That's amazing, isn't it? See, God wants us to prosper, but not just over there, after a while, over yonder, but starting right now today, to prosper in our decisions, to prosper in our mind, to prosper in our body, to prosper in our finances. You know, prosperity for me is another piece of antique furniture redone. Love that. I got a house full. I don't have any more room, but if I found something really nice, I'm sure I could make room. I'm in love, deeply in love with the lover of my soul. I can sing praise to my King. Do you know that? Why the years of eternity roll, his love is in my heart. Never to depart, his grace has set me free. I'm in love with Jesus. And the Jesus that you love, that you accepted in the kingdom, loves you enough to say, I'll take care of you now and then. Keep walking. I'm here for you. He said, fear thou not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I am God. That means I'm active in your case. So I'll help you. I love that line. He says, I'll help you. You know, everybody needs help. Just in, I can't open jars. I just not very strong. I don't have strength. I can't open jars. Every class, somebody's brought me a special jar opener. I still can't open them. You don't even bring me no. I got a collection. They don't work for me. I can't open jars. And my son, you probably know him. He's the guy with the camera that runs around here. He said, Mother, if Daddy dies first, you are going to be a lot of trouble. And that's the truth, because there's a lot I can't do. But I have a helper, a heavenly helper, who says, I will help you. I am God. That's the best help you can get. I could volunteer to help you and be of minimal help. I said, I'll just do the best I can, you know. I'm in love, deeply in love. Now it says we're to prosper, be in health. I'm trying to paint you a picture. Even as your soul prospers, and that's the key. Soul prospers. Soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. In other words, there's some effort I'm going to put into prosperity. Even as your soul prospers. Now, the next verse defines soul prosperity for us very, very clearly. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you. That's the first step. You know the truth. Now, when I came into Pentecost, I didn't know anything about healing. My church prayed for the sick. I don't know that anybody ever got well. You're supposed to pray. We prayed. I mean, that's just my opinion. And the first lesson I was asked to teach, the Lord dealt with me. Somebody's going to come ask you to teach. I want you to teach. I didn't even know as a teacher. I didn't have a clue as a teacher. And they asked, and they had a lesson for the day, and it was healing. I didn't know anything. My soul didn't prosper in that arena. I understood salvation. I knew the Roman road to salvation. I didn't know anything about healing. And they said, just answer the basic questions. I tried to tell them to let me do what I can do. And they said, no, this is our lesson. So she gave me a book and she says, just present this lesson. So because I'm an honest person, I'm not going to say what I don't believe. And I don't know if I believe this or not. Never heard it before. I'm going to say this man says and this man believes based on this scripture. I'm looping myself out because I never heard of him. And I don't know if he knows. I already found out my church didn't know about the Holy Ghost, so I didn't know what else they didn't know. And she said, answer the basics. I said, like what? She said, well, does God heal today? I remember as well as yesterday. I said, do we know that? See, my soul didn't prosper. I didn't have any knowledge. If your soul prospers, you have knowledge. It says you have the truth. Well, the only way you can have the truth is to be studious. I looked that up. I think that's spelled correctly. To study. Now look at 2 Timothy. That's the only way your soul's going to prosper. He said, you got to know the truth. And then it says in this verse, you got to walk in the truth. In other words, the truth, you know the truth you're learning has to guide your behavior and your decisions. It's not enough just to know the truth. You know, I let a lot of people know how to add and subtract, but they don't add and subtract their checkbook because they don't want to. It's not that they don't have knowledge. It's not that they don't know the truth. They've chosen not to let the truth guide their behavior. Isn't that right? Is that you? Yeah, because I subtract my checkbook. Okay. Study, 2 Timothy. Study to show yourself approved. 2:15. Study, study, study. The word study is very unique in the Greek. First of all, it means to use speed. So this is not something we're going to put off or postpone. Why is this important? Because my prosperity and my health depends upon my soul. My health depends upon what I have in my soul, which is my mind. It depends upon what I know about God and my walk in what I know, my practicing of what I know. And it means to use speed. It also means to exert yourself and use labor. Well, I never studied anything that I didn't think was laborious. Have you read anything? You thought, oh, nothing to that. That was easy. Including putting something together and you're reading instructions. You say, A, B, C. Where is C? It said there's going to be some labor here. Part of the problem with Christianity is we have just a touch of laziness in us. Have you noticed that? Maybe two touches. It also means to be diligent. So I'm going to use speed. I mean, I'm going to get right on it. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to labor. Now, I only flunked one test, and I was a good student. And I didn't know we were having a test. Nobody knew. The teacher didn't announce it. He wanted to see if we'd read the material. And ordinarily, I would have read the material, but he gave us several days to read the material, and I hadn't read it yet. And I made a 40. It's the only low grade I ever got. I'm an A student. I was devastated, but I didn't know anything. I read the question. I didn't know. I had one teacher that gave you credit if the answer was very clever, even if it was wrong. And those who didn't study, I could see them there scratching their head trying to think of something really smart to say to get credit for this. This teacher didn't do that. Huh. I was devastated. Study takes time to read all that material. It takes time to memorize and get the facts together or to outline however you study. It takes effort. And because I didn't use due speed, I wasn't prepared. See? Speed, speed. This word means speed. In other words, do it today. Oh, I was going to read that. But you didn't. I'm always amazed looking for a book when we have vast bookshelves. I'm not so committed to reading them. I'm committed to collecting them. That's. And I'm looking for something, and I come across something, and I think, I forgot I had that. I meant to read that. I didn't put any effort into it. I place all my books I'm going to read in one spot, and then every so many weeks I put all those back on the shelf. That's kind of what I do. Trust and obey. Speed. Do it today. Get with it. You got to have a plan to study. I've heard of all kinds of plans, whatever works for you. I read my Bible. I read by the Spirit. I try to go where I feel like the anointing is for me. I've done that for a long time. I can't just open to a passage and read. It may be a nice passage. It may be wonderful. But if it doesn't, if the anointing is not on my heart in that scripture, then it doesn't work for me. One little man read a different translation every year. The year I became aware of this, he was reading the New Jerusalem. Every year. That worked for him. It wouldn't work for me. One lady reads her Bible through every other year, and in between years, she follows the anointing and reads passages as she feels like the Lord's directed her. That works for her. Well, that doesn't work for me. See, if you're going to study, you got to find what works for you. See, you know, when you're in school, some people are midnight studiers, last minute people. One of ours could open and study the hour before the test and make an A. The other one couldn't do that. What works for you? Study to show yourself approved. That means you can be disapproved. And what's disapproved? Ignorance. Proved unto God. A workman. We're God's workman. We're his household of faith. Needs not to be ashamed. That means we, you know, there's some, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm not computer literate. Maybe I should be, but I don't care. But God said, if you don't know my word, you're not a student of my word, you should be ashamed. Well, that should cause us to pick up a little speed, shouldn't it? So what's the plan, Lord? What's the plan? 3 years in a row, the Lord directed me to start the first of the year in the book of Isaiah. The first year, I thought there's a lot of government scriptures in here. I should make a note of those, but I didn't. I didn't want to make the effort. See, study takes effort. I just didn't want to make the effort. I read Isaiah. I read on through. I felt like to keep reading, and I stayed in the Old Testament all year. The next year, I came to what I thought was a stopping point, and I said, Lord, what do I read this year? And I heard very clear from heaven, Isaiah. I said, you do remember. You know, I heard a preacher say, sometimes you have to remind the Lord of things. And I said, you do remember that's where I started last year. I mean, Casey had forgotten. So I started Isaiah, and I thought, tremendous number of government scriptures. And I'm not good at praying for government. I need these scriptures. I should. But I didn't. Put no effort into it. I read it. And I read other things, did other things throughout the year. And then the third year, I said to the Lord, this is really true. Where do I start this year? He said, Isaiah. And I thought, did you really want me to make note of all those government scriptures? That's been the best thing I've ever done for my heart. The best thing I have ever done, because I'm not good at praying for government. And I can take those scriptures. There's a tremendous number about judges. It says God will make a great nation. Where did you ever hear that? It's in Isaiah. Where else did you hear it? I'll leave it to your imagination. And I take those, there's 4 pages of them, just from Isaiah and a couple from Amos I included. And I can read those and read those, see if I'm diligent to follow the Spirit of God and to study. This all hinges on my health. A lot of people are not healed. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Now there are some people that are going to be healed, they're dumber than a brick. Let me tell you, I've seen that happen. It's people who were in the house of God, who did everything they knew to do, who had never had an opportunity to learn truth and had never turned down an opportunity to learn. Their ignorance was maintained by their environment, and they were diligent in what they were provided, and I've seen God reach out and heal them. We had a gentleman that's going to have surgery. He's scheduled for surgery. They know the problem. They've got it on X-ray. The doctor wanted another view of the X-ray before the surgery, and he sent him to X-ray, and the machine wadded them up. I think it was an angel there wadding them up as they came out. So they postponed the surgery to run the X-rays again because he feels like he needs another look there. And when they ran them, they have the ones that with the original ones with the problem clearly defined, and when they ran them the third time, the problem had disappeared. He wasn't there anymore. Now, you know what happened? Wayne kept saying, are we going to pray for him? Are we going to pray for him? I said, yes, we are. Yes, we are. I couldn't decide how to pray. I said, I don't know how to pray. Praying for other people is different than praying for yourself. I said, I really don't know how to pray. Well, in between the X-rays, I decided we're going to stand in faith and God's going to heal him based on our faith. Wayne and I, we're going to stand in faith. He's going to be healed because we said so. Now, that doesn't work. Seldom works. It doesn't work unless God says so. I said, no, I prayed about it. This is going to work. This man was always in church. He was diligent participating in his church. He learned everything that his church knew. They just didn't know too much. And when we stood in faith for him, God healed him. Jesus. It's probably not going to work for you because you're here. I can walk with you, but I can't walk for you. We walked for him. And he lived 2 or 3 decades after that. He lived a long time after that. He's with the Lord now, but he lived a long time. You got to be steady, diligent, effort, toil, labor is part of that word, and speed. Imagine a word like study including speed. Now, Wayne and I, oh, I don't know why you wait so long. He works hard in the yard, and so that's all the exercise. He gets plenty of exercise. I get none. I sit and read and pray. I get no exercise. And because of some things happening, they kept saying, you need to walk, you need to walk, you need to walk. Well, okay, I got tired of hearing it. And so we didn't get with it, though. We weren't very diligent. And we'd walk once, and we'd think, shh, that's enough for this month. And we made up our mind. See, if you're going to study, you've got to have a plan. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to say, what do you want me to do, God? How do you want me to do this? What works for me? And we did really well until the weather got cold. Well, you can't walk in cold weather. I'm cold-natured. So we haven't walked in months. I've had so little exercise. One doctor said, you have the shallowest lung capacity I have ever checked. I can't even take a decent deep breath. And so walking's a big deal. And so Wayne's brother-in-law tractored up our walking path. I was so glad. We can't walk there. He tractored it under. We're making some rearrangements on his property. The front end is ours and the back end of the property belongs to him. So yesterday Wayne said, let's walk. Well, usually it's too late. It's getting dark already. You notice that? Well, it's going to get dark in 10 minutes. And I said, what are we going to do? We usually walk a loop through the field. There's acreage there, and we can't walk the loop through the field because it's tractored under. It's muddy. He said, we're going to walk down to this road. We're going to stay on the edge of the rodeo. We're going to walk loop through the ballparks and back up by the rodeo and back to the house. I went, you know what? I'm not interested. That's your problem. If you'd have been interested, you'd have done something. Isn't that the truth? Am I being mean? Now, when I study, I'm expecting to learn something. And the only way you learn is you make a Holy Ghost connection. It says all Scripture, and that's in chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is breathed by God. The Scripture contains the life and the breath of God. Now, I don't expect you would sit all day and read and pray like I do some days. But I expect you'd maybe do 10 minutes. Do what you can do. Start where you are. The word is breathed by God and says it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching, and it's going to teach you. It's going to instruct you. See, that's why I'm reading the word. It's going to guide me. It's going to guide me so I can walk in health. Without the word, I'm going to make some mistakes or I'm going to miss some things that are important. It's profitable for reproof, which means it's going to tell you what you did wrong. Correction, tell you how to get it right. Love that. And instruction or training or teaching. Constantly teaching you how to walk right, how to do right. And all of that's in the word. It says that the man of God may be perfect or complete or whole, throughly. That is not thoroughly, it's throughly. Throughly furnished unto all good works. So there's some work we're not going to be able to do if we don't know the word. And we have to know the Spirit to bring us the inspiration, the revelation of the word. Revelation is when you're sitting in a dark, dark room, you don't see anything. It's dark, the curtains are drawn, and suddenly somebody opens the curtain or flips the light switch and the light comes on. Revelation is when the light comes on. And you think, oh, I've had such marvelous revelation of verses I've been reading. It seems like I've been reading them 100 years. I know I've read them 100 times, I think. See, I'm going to study, but I'm not just studying so I can, check it off. Denominational church that we were in, you had to check. You were present. You were on time. You read your Bible. There was about 7 things. You checked all those off, and you got 100. Well, baloney. But you didn't know anything about Pentecost and didn't know Jesus healed today. Trust and obey. Your soul's going. He wants you to prosper. He said, I want you to be in health and prosper as your soul. This is the soul up here. Prospers. Now that isn't any different. And what Paul said in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you renew your mind, it's your soul that's prospering. It's through renewing it in the word. The Bible doesn't say a lot of different things. It says a few things many different ways. I give this example often. It says we can overcome. It says we can have victory. It says we can triumph. It says we can conquer. And though there are fractions of difference in those words, they all amount to the same thing. You won. If you conquered, you overcame. If you overcame, you conquered. If you conquered, you had triumph. If you had triumphed, you walked in victory. It's one concept. If your soul prospers, your mind is renewed. That means I'm learning and growing. How am I going to learn? Because in me, the teacher dwells. Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church, John 14. He's the teacher. He's going to teach me. He's going to bring understanding to me. And he's going to bring the inspiration that's on the word and teach me and show me what I don't know. Let me give you that scripture reference because these are important scriptures. John 14, 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. All things. He's the teacher of the church. And then John 16 said he's the guide into truth. Well, where's the truth? Jesus said, my word is truth. So he guides us through the word. And he teaches us the truth. And when I read and study whatever plan I have, I ask God to reveal to me and I expect revelation. I'm not just reading because I said, yeah, I read it. You know, every time somebody gives me a book to read and I'm not too interested in reading it, I feel less obligated as I grow older, but I think, they're going to ask me if I read that. Or they give me a CD. They're going to ask me if I heard that. I think, so I'll just kind of cruise through it in a hurry, you know. I said, oh, I love that man's point. And that's the only point I got. You know, it just happened to be on the page I opened to. Kind of a cheat. So I'm not just doing this because God said to. I'm doing it because the life, it says the word has life. It means it has energy. Energeo is, I think, the Greek word. It has energy. It has force. It's accomplishing something. Now, one man on TV, we were watching him teach, and he said, if we could ever get you to get the word from here to here, he did that several times. If I could just get you to get the word from here to here, from here to here, he says it sloshes around up here and never gets out of here. And that's the key, is to begin to repeat what I'm learning, what I'm growing in, what concept God's given me, is to begin to repeat it. It's okay to talk to yourself. I know what the world says, but Jesus said, Paul said, speaking to yourself in Psalms. You can speak to yourself. Talk to yourself and say, wow, God, did you see that? The Lord's my shepherd. I have everything I need. I have all I need. And you begin to talk to, and when I don't sleep at night, I talk to myself. Go over the scripture. Go over the lesson sometimes. Sometimes by the time I get up in the morning, I've already taught my lesson once or twice. That's the truth. Now look at Ephesians 1. You can ask for revelation. You can pray for revelation. You can pray for understanding. There are three factors. I want to give them to you. Ephesians 1, this is the prayer. That the God of our, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, will may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. There are three things there. May give you, since he gives it to you. Well, you pray and you ask. Now you can't ask for faith, because faith comes by hearing. Which you can ask for revelation because he sold us to. You can ask for boldness because Acts 4 tells us ask for boldness. But you can't ask for faith. Faith has got hearing. You got to hear something. Now, there's a difference in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You can have knowledge without understanding. If you have knowledge, you have a grasp of the facts or data. You can repeat it, you know, kind of like a parrot. ABC. You know, I learned the books of the Bible. I was raised in church, learned the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, but I never really had much understanding. And if you say, where is Lamentations? I'd have to say, see, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Lamentations after Song of Solomon. Because I didn't have understanding. I had memorized. Now, I memorized in high school. I had a sharp mind at one time. Now, I've learned to draw from the Spirit. Sometimes I park something in my mind, it disappears, but it's always down here. I have to go to the Spirit. And the biology teacher said the glossary at the back of the book would be the final test. So I just memorized it from A to Z, quoted it all, made 100. You think I had any understanding of that? No. You think a week, a month, 2 months later that I knew any of that? No. Understanding is not only you have knowledge, you've got the right facts and data. But if I take all those facts and data and jump them in a hopper and throw them out, you can gather them up in water. You know how to put them back together. You have understanding. You know how it's done. You know how to put it together. It's not just memorized. It's not fleeting. It's you get this. You really get this. Understanding is I get it. I get it. I really get it. Now, wisdom is the ability to put out the finished product. Now, if you take the architect who has knowledge and understanding and you put him out there to build the building, he probably can't. Wisdom is the man who can put it together, who can come up with the end product. And God said, if you'll ask me, if you'll pray, says, I study. See, my health depends on this. My prosperity depends upon my knowledge. I've got to practice what I know, and I've got to know something in order to practice it. And he said, you just pray for that. You just pray and ask me. Just ask me. I read Acts 4 so many times, and every time I read two verses there, I think, what in the world does that say? Grant that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And every time I'd read that, I think, I didn't get it. Well, I read it. I know what it said. But see, the Holy Ghost is tugging at me. He wants to show me something. He wants to show me something there. And I knew that. I just know he wants me to see something here I don't see. I asked my friend, what does that verse say to you? And she gave the typical explanation, which was true. But there's some explanations that are surface. They're very shallow. And it's a shallow explanation. Grant that all boldness. We have boldness to speak God's word and to do. We have boldness to do signs and wonders. That was the explanation. That's not what it says. Now listen to me. Grant that with all boldness we may speak your word by. Speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. What gives me an avenue to speak the word? What makes people listen to me? The signs and wonders they saw. That's what opened the door. And one day I'm reading along and it suddenly dawned on me. It doesn't say, speak, grant thou boldness, I may speak your word and do signs and wonders. It says, I may speak your word by the signs and wonders. It took me 10 years, maybe more. Suddenly I saw that. See, that's what you're praying for. See, and God's going to show you, he's going to correct you and teach you and instruct you and train you in the very thing that you must hear in order to walk in health. I heard a man give his testimony. And he said he'd committed adultery many times. His wife did not know that. He traveled a lot. And he said he got tired of living in sin and he asked the Lord to help him. And he went to a church service and he said they didn't give an altar call. He's ready now. He wants help, so he's going to answer the altar call. They didn't give one. So he just went up and knelt at the front and the Lord spoke to him. And he said, I can heal you of that lust. I can take it away from you if you'll correct this other area. He didn't even see that area. He never had seen it before. That he had this other area to correct. How did he get that? He got that by revelation. He got that by understanding. It's not only understanding of the word. There are three arenas of truth. The truth about God, the truth about the devil, the truth about myself. Well, the truth about God I get, he's a good guy. The truth about the devil I get. It's the truth about me that's a little harder to see and digest. Is that where you are? Well, that's where I am at. I said, he bowed his head there. And he said, I never had seen that before, this other area. He said, I couldn't believe that. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. And the Lord said, the minute you change that, you'll never have a problem with lust again. And he didn't. 33 years later, he's never had a single problem. Not one moment. But he had to fix this first. But see, if it hadn't been for revelation understanding, he wouldn't have even seen that. He didn't have a clue about that. See, oh, if we trust and obey, if we study and we expect revelation. Now we've got to stay connected, and that's in John chapter 15. You can't disconnect. You can't get tired and quit. It says, abide in me and my words abide in you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Abide means to remain or continue. In other words, you've got to stick with it here. We've got to stick with it. We've got to abide. We can't disconnect. If you abide in me, verse 7, my words abide in you. The word will never abide in me if I just disconnect, if I take it haphazardly. If one week I do a really good job and the next 6 months I don't read much at all. See, sometimes I have to beat myself up and sit myself down. I don't know you, just know me. Every now and then I think, I just want to watch TV, you know. Something really dumb, like, I don't know. I don't want to read anymore. I prayed an hour. I'm trying to impress the Lord. He's stirring me to read some more or to read something. He wants to show something. I think, I prayed 2 hours this morning, Lord. I read the whole book of Malachi 3 times, like you said. You know, I'm trying to say, you know, that's enough. Isn't that enough? That's enough. That's enough. That doesn't mean what he asked of me, he'd ask of you, but he's going to ask something of you, and you need to perform that. You need to say, okay, help me do that. Help me do that. Help me do that. And you got to stay connected to the voice of the Lord. You got to stay connected to the word of the Lord. And you got to stay connected to the house of the Lord. Because it says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10. You got to stay connected to the people of God, to the house of God. If you disconnect, you're going to be out there in trouble somewhere. It's not that we wouldn't come rescue you when you realized you needed help. Sometimes you've gone too far and we can't. You're already sliding down the edge of the cliff and we can't fix it for you. I've seen that happen many times. You got to stay connected to prayer. It says pray without ceasing. You got to stay connected to prayer. You just can't pray every now and then. So, well, I don't like to pray. Pray in tongues, 5 minutes. One lady told me this. She was going to teach her boys to pray. She had 2 boys. They're big boys now. And so she set the timer on the stove. I don't know how many minutes she started with, and she's instructed them. Everybody prays in tongues until the timer goes off. She told me this. So they'd pray by the stove, and they'd go, you know, they're checking the timer. I loved it. I loved it. And they did that for weeks. And one day, the timer went off, and they just kept praying. Kept praying. They were, at that time, 11, 12, 13. They're in their 20s now. And she said, the timer went off. And one of her sons spoke up and said, well, I'm not through. Do you see? Do you see? Do you see? Diligence. Speed. Effort. Toil. Revelation. Understanding. Stay connected to prayer. Stay connected to reading the word. It says meditate day and night. You have to stay connected to joy. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. That means you don't have a down depressed day. You don't have one. I already had one. Me too. So I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And it's kind of pathetic, you know, because there's not an ounce of joy in you anywhere that you can find. Again, I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I got up one morning years and years ago, the worst mood, I don't know what happened to me. I'm not moody, I'm not an emotional person. And so I'm going to go around my island and praise the Lord and give glory to God, because that's your answer. That's your answer. You can be depressed if you want, you can stay mad if you want, but if you're going to do what God said, you got to stay connected to joy. You got to stir yourself up in joy. You got to say, in the middle of all your despair, I exalt you. And you're thinking, maybe I must have done 5 miles around. I got a 5-foot island in the kitchen. I must have done 5 miles around that island. I'm going to say praise the Lord, but I couldn't get my mouth open. And that's the truth. And finally I said praise the Lord. And then I sat down and did what I only do once every 10 to 15 years. I cried. We were not raised to cry. My mother taught us not to cry. And I'm very good at not crying. I just don't do that. I can hear my mother say, if you're going to cry, if you have to, stay in your room. We were not allowed to cry. So I sat down and cried. And then I got up and I thought, you know, rejoice always. That hasn't changed. In spite of my mood, that has not changed. You got to stay connected to the word. It says, love one another. You can't disconnect. Especially if you kick me in the shin, you do something ugly to my children. You know, if you kick me in the shin, I could probably forgive you. If you kick my children in the shin, I feel a little differently about that. So I went around that island again and rejoiced in the Lord. I'm going to say praise the Lord. Second time I said, praise the Lord, it's a little better. Not great, better. And then all of a sudden, I did not dance, not dance in my entire life. We were not taught to dance. We were taught, Christians do not dance. That's just what I'm telling you, my mother said. And something happened at the bottom of my feet, and it ran up my leg. I felt it. It was the most amazing thing. I danced all over the kitchen. I don't know if it's dancing or not. I don't know anything about dancing. But I jumped all over the kitchen and shouted. Now, I could have spent the whole day in despair, and I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't have been a day of despair. It'd probably been a week. That's right. But I said, I can't do that, because I have to stay connected to love, to prayer, to the word, to joy, to thanksgiving. I've got to stay connected, even if I look like a fake in the beginning. Fake it till you make it. That's what I was doing that day. Now here's the next thing. It's in Proverbs 4. Be consistent. It's not up and down, in and out. Let me just show you one word in Proverbs 4. Is what you're doing, if it's right, if it's God ordered, you stick with it till you get a new order. Attend to my words. That's not occasionally. That's not when you feel like, if you have some time in your schedule. You just keep attending. You keep focused. Incline your ear. Let them not depart from your eyes. That's consistency. Consistency. It's always, you know, if I don't let this book depart from my eyes, just in a natural solution, it's like this. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. I don't even see you. I got this book before my eyes. Well, you said I can't do that. Oh, sure you can. I can talk to Wayne. And then I don't hear anything. I look over there. He didn't hear a word I had to say. He's got that computer in front of his eyes. I thought we were watching some great TV, House and Garden. I love House and Garden. And I said, oh, what a great idea. Didn't you think that was great? Did you see that? Nothing. And you always got that computer, that tablet, or some electronic gizmo. He's continuing in that. I'm not against that unless I'm talking to him. I said, do you hear what I say? You put a kid in front of a TV and you call him and say, come to dinner. They don't even know you spoke. You can try this. You don't have to do this. If you have a severe sports fan at your house, I mean one that lives and eats sports. We don't have one of those. Wayne and I, neither one. You put on their favorite game, and about second quarter, go stand in front of the TV. And for about 20, 30 seconds, you won't hear anything. They don't even realize you're there. They think they're seeing the game. That's the truth. You can try. And all of a sudden, they'll say, move, 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 move. Get out of the way. You're standing in front of my TV. I don't want to miss this. Because they're focused. And what God says, be consistent. Stay in focus. Stay with the game. Stay with the order. Expect revelation. Pray and ask me to teach you. Why? Beloved, listen. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. James said, if you receive the engrafted word, listen to that term, which is able to save your soul. The soul has to be saved. The mind has to be renewed. That's not different concepts. Same thing. The soul prospers. The soul is saved. The mind renewed. He said, if you receive the engrafted word. Well, when they graft trees together, they take a tree. They used to do that on the Cumbie plant, plantation, Cumbie farm. And they had some sour orange rootstock, which is very disease resistant, but it produces very poor fruit. So they would graft branches on it to produce a better tree. And when they do that, here's the purpose. You'll find this if you take out grafting. Here's the purpose. The purpose of grafting, listen to this, is permanent union. That tree is never, ever again going to produce sour oranges because it's been grafted. And he said, if you'll receive the word of God, if you'll be permanently united, if you'll be consistent, if you'll stay connected to the word and to the principles of the word, if you'll study, if you'll have, now I don't function by list. My sister's the list person. A list, she is the president of the major list club. And every now and then I make a grocery list, and somehow I never get to the grocery store with it. I don't know how that works. But if it would help you to write something down and say, today I'm going to spend 10 minutes, and tomorrow 10 minutes, and Wednesday 10 minutes. One fellow determined to do that, and he decided he had a family, a lot of children, so he decided he'd do that in the parking lot of his office. The weather was cool, and so he's in the parking lot, and he got involved. He's been practicing a few minutes every day, you know, praying and reading a little bit. He's gearing up, and somebody finally knocked on the window and say, you know, you're already 30 minutes later. You're going to come in? He said, I just got lost in the scripture. I just got totally lost. See, the day will come if you'll have a plan. If you'll say, Lord, what would work for me? If you have a job, you obviously can't do what I'm doing. This is my job. But you can do something. Study. Have revelation, understanding, insight. Truth comes. Be consistent. And Scripture says something, delight yourself in the word. Delight. It's the word luxurious. It's joy. It's the thrill of discovery and hearing from God. What is going to happen? I wish above all things that you prosper. Here's what's going to happen to you. And be in health. Prosper and be in health. Free from disease and pain. Prosper, succeed, have a successful journey, well-being in every endeavor, and free from pain and disease. Well-being, prosperity in every arena, free of pain and disease. Now, that formula wouldn't be in there written by the hand of God and the breath of God if it didn't work. Isn't that right? Raise your hand to heaven. Oh, we exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. This is a way to make 2019 a better year. Every day is a better day when you live it for the Lord. Every day is a better day when you're walking in His Word. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you. We make a commitment to stay connected, to be consistent, to follow the plan you give us. We ask for revelation, understanding, insight. Not just knowledge, facts, and data, but an understanding of those facts and a wisdom to get the whole thing finished in style, Holy Ghost style. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you.